Blog Talk Radio.
Shout Even Shy, Bridget's singing a poem I wrote that she put to music. Songs You Cannot Say. It's Thanksgiving, Thursday, the 23rd of November, in the year of our Lord, 2023, and time keeps flying by. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for this Thanksgiving party. With me is A.P. Taylor. A.P., how you doing?
Hello, Hatter. How are you?
I'm okay. It's Thanksgiving here. I know you're in Australia, so,
yes.
You know, we'll be thankful.
And it's not Thanksgiving here, Hatter. So, you know, it's just another Friday, you know. So,
yeah.
You don't,
sometimes
there's no
turkey,
no pumpkin, there's no nothing.
I have a sweet potato pie.
Ha ha! Well, that's classically Thanksgiving for you.
And speak of the devil, I think this is Sweet Pea. Is that you, Sweets?
No, it'll be Wayne.
Wayne! Ah! And we have somebody else, 918.
And
who's calling? 918 area code. You there?
918.
What show is this?
I'm sorry, who is it?
What show is this?
It is a team of voices, Thanksgiving special, and who are we speaking with?
Who is this?
You might have the wrong number.
What show is this?
It's a poetry show. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, time keeps flying by. I keep stating a phrase that I think you should listen to. Take it. You know, it's as graceful as we can. I mean, it's all about getting older. We owe it to those that never got a chance. So as graceful as you can, you know. Things start happening way too fast the older you get, it seems. We slow down the viewer. When your soul needs fed, find someone that needs some help. It's not hard to do. And feed your soul. Hug your kids. Hug their kids. And the dog. Pet the cat. Because life can hide in the shadows. It can hide the beauty of life. And you need to recognize it. And if you're going too fast, you miss it. In my head lately, I've been living in a memory, and I'm compelled to act on it, disregarding the consequences. Always be careful approaching people to ask for help. Not ask for help, but to volunteer help. They tend to be a little more suspicious. Obviously, don't crowd anybody, but I find that's the best way to occupy my time when I can, if I got too much time on my hands. So, Wayne, how you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty watching. I looked at the football scores while ago, and I'm doing real well tonight so far. I'm hanging
in.
Yeah,
I had a good day. Yeah.
Had a good meal today. Had a good meal today, so everything's been good.
Hopefully my team will show up. We play this fantasy football league, some of us here at a team of voices. I guess I should have introduced. Yeah, this is a team of voices, some radio, sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. Thank you, A.P.
Oh, yep.
We're a group of writers that hang out at allpoetry.com. We are a group inside. It's free to join. You can find us on the group tab, A Team of Voices, A-T-O-V. Knock on the door. Deborah will let you in. It's free to join. Be a part of it. We share our work on the radio so we can follow along on the writing site. So it's a win-win. Thanksgiving. Wow. It crept up on it. Got here really fast this year. Tonight, I'm going to literally play Pavlov's dog, which means I handed my keys earlier and I hid them for myself. When you hear a bell, you bark like a dog and take a shot. That's Pavlov's dog. If anybody want to play, hide your keys. Today I am drinking vodka. Oh, okay.
Ooh.
I don't drink very often. I don't drink very often, but
ooh,
when I do.
ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Is it Russian vodka?
No. It's not, I don't believe it is. Smirnoff.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
checking.
Russian. I guess it is. Smirnoff.
Right. I'm
a great
Russian.
Oh, man. So, how's everybody's year going? We've not had the pandemic reoccur, right? Seems like it's...
No.
Wanting to, I predicted we would have another health crisis before November of next year.
Oh, nah.
As long as the pharmaceutical companies are making money on health crisis, expect more health crises.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you got that.
Yeah. So, I also got some songs I'm going to play. Some that means something to me, but the good rock songs. And we're gonna play Alice's Restaurant, Arlo Guthrie, 1970. I used to play it on the radio here every year, and I haven't heard it in years, so I'm gonna refire that thing up. It's a long song, but if you've never heard it, sit back and enjoy. Arlo Guthrie was, his dad was Woody Guthrie, the folk singer.
Yes, I remember this well. This is Thanksgiving every year.
Yep. So here, you know, I'm going to take one before the bell. Hold on.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, that wasn't bad. Ugh. Okay, let me get back in the studio. Anybody bring presents, Hatter presents for Thanksgiving, you're welcome to let me know. We'll post them up. You can let you read. You
mm-hmm.
like?
And I just recorded one. I might put up there.
Roof.
Boss.
Okay.
Wow, it's gonna be...
All right. Let's do it in a row. Okay. AP, did you write something for tonight, or are you just hanging out to?
I am gonna write something as the show goes on, Hatter. So give me 19 minutes. Yeah, 19 minutes, and I'll have a poem.
Okay.
Clean sheet of paper. 19 minutes.
Okay. Now I know. We gotta run. That last shot got me. Okay, hold on. I think I'll pull out one also, something a little humorous. It's about my grandma.
Yes.
It's called Grandma. Let me pull it up.
Okay. Up on the board?
Not yet. I'm still running down the hall.
All right, next.
Yeah, I had this fortune of I only knew one grandparent, one grandma. My other grandparents, my dad's side, passed away the year I was born, and my grandfather on my mom's side passed away a year later. So, grandma. Okay, here we go. And the results. Got it.
You happy to read it, Hatter?
No, I'll read it. I got my glass. I found my glasses.
Okay. Beautiful.
Tried to get it on the board. This was okay. Let's go. Come on. I hit it with the room hides from us. Okay, there it is. Okay, there. It should be posted. Let me know when you see it.
I can see it.
Okay. It's called Grandma. Grandma's house, so old and dark, staying there was never fun. Grandma acts strange sometimes. She has fooled everyone. Grandma killed the neighbor's cat. She drowned it in the sink. She raised the sweater from the suds and smiled and gave me a wink. I watched her bury a body in back, a stepping stone where it lays. Now there is a flowering pot that marks the unknown grave. Well, in the garage late at night, my fears are much, much higher. Sounds of saws and body parts returning kindling for the fire. Each day she likes to sharpen things. I watched her hone her axe. She plans to wait till I'm asleep before the bloody attack. I heard my grandma late one night, the neighbor kid she baked, celebrating lighting candles then appearing with a cake. Each time I watch my grandma cutting things with her saw, I cannot stop wondering what really happened to Grandpa. Hey, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Holy goody.
Poor Grandpa.
Well,
Grandma
had some form, Hatter. And you know, I love the sharpening of things.
Before I'm struck by lightning, let me know that my grandma was a devout Christian Catholic, and she was the sweetest elderly thing, but grandma. So she didn't make nobody cat. She did,
But I'm enjoying it. Hatter. There's something about a grandma that gets in late at night and thinks about body parts
like
and pots and, you know, gives you a smile when just wants to catch the parts, you know.
I think he's great.
Yeah, my dad's side, there was 12 kids, and he was the second to the youngest.
Yeah.
And my mom had seven kids, and she was the youngest. So by the time they grew up,
right,
married my grandparents, were a little older. Yeah, so it's just the way it works. But she just got more love. We'd spend trade weekends, which kid gets to stay over grandma's, you know, through the years.
Yeah,
that
right.
was cool. It's always nice.
That's what I call a
Thank
great
yeah,
grandma.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, Wade, did you bring presents?
I wanted to appoint him earlier, and I recorded about 5 minutes before I got on the show tonight. I don't know if how good it sounds, but I put it on the board if you want to set the SoundCloud up. You can.
Oh, is it?
I'm not sure if he's been able to do it.
Okay,
yeah, we might have. We'll wait till
we'll
have to wait for Deborah's show.
That's cool. You guys for something, I threw it up, or no big deal.
Okay. We'll wait for Deb to come along because she can do it. Oh, no, we've got it. We've got it. Wayne's poem for Thanksgiving. We've got it.
All right. There you go. Okay, let me run back to the studio. Okay. Can you post it for me?
Yeah. I'll do that now. It's okay, Deb.
Okay.
I've found it. I've got it. Got it. There it is. I've got it. Where is it? Is Wayne put it on the board before? Hold on. Got it, Wayne. Just recopy it down so it's at the bottom. It's all good. It's all good.
All right.
Board now. And
yep.
I'm it's playing it now, Hatter.
Got it.
This is a song. Anyone? I was upset as I walked along the shore. Couldn't think of a reason to live anymore. Nobody would listen. I was all alone. I was lonely. Felt completely unknown. As I walked, the sky began to grow dark. Thought I'd better hurry to a sunken landmark. The skies opened up and rain began to fall. The thunder roared and the lightning I saw. I yelled out, God, why is this happening to me? I looked ahead, saw an old man walking out to sea. I ran through the rain and grabbed his hand. I said, come on, let's get back on land. He quietly let me lead him back to the sand. A feeling came over me, started feeling grand. I turned to the old man, but he was gone. I looked up in the rain and asked, what's going on? The thunder softened as I heard a voice. Why did you rescue him? It was your choice. Started thinking as I walked in the rain. I should know the answer, but I couldn't explain. With a flash of lightning I heard, listen to me, son. You acted in bravery, it's what you've done. Why do you feel your life is not worthwhile? Happiness comes if you learn to smile. The pouring rain couldn't hide my tears. I started talking to God about my fears. Questions started running through my head. But I quietly listened to what God said. I whispered, what is it I should do? Thunder roared, just be happy you are you. You are here to serve, not to lead. And you have everything that you need. Right then I knew I had to rid my pity, go out and serve the masses in the city. To quickly and sorry and stand up proud, go out and seek the needy in the crowd. After a prayer I said, God, thank you, God. The sun came out and I was still eyed. I was warm all over and completely dry. I wasn't about to ask God why. Ian?
AP, what did you think, buddy?
Well, I was trying to find the right poem, and then Deb actually managed to find it for me, thank God, halfway through. And I liked the rain and the thunder, Wayne, towards the end. I liked that you were there to serve, not lead, and you everything that you need, and that, you know, despite everything else, that with the rain, you were still warm and dry, and that was okay. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Just a little testimonial.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like coming to terms with being alone in the holidays. I mean, there are worse things. But, yeah, I like to say it gets easier, does it? But I feel it with you guys. I spend it here. That's why I volunteer for the holidays, so I can spend it with you guys.
Instead of,
yeah, I'm glad to sit back, sit down for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Deborah, are you there?
I am, yeah.
Cool.
Wayne, I thought this was awesome. I could almost picture you running out there to grab that person by the hand and talk them back in, and then probably feed them too. I like the visuals and the feel of you reaching out and helping. And I think that you did a great job, and apparently so did the host, because I see you won a shiny silver medal for it too. Congrats on that.
Fun, right?
Now, I got just a blank. My dinner on 11/23/23. Was it Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, this is just a journal. This is my journal. It's a picture of the meal I took today. This is part of the buffet I set up.
That's good, Wade. You cook all that?
Yeah, I cooked it on a service today. And still got to clean the mess up down there, but that's it. I'm over here in about 30, 40 minutes, and then I'll be done. So I did, that's what I did today.
Nothing better than leftovers, turkey.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of leftovers.
Pineapple. All right, yeah, thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Wayne. Deborah. So, hold on. Oh, okay. That'll warm me up. So, Deb, what have you been cooking today?
Everything. Look on the chat wall.
Okay. I can do that.
Yesterday, I made pumpkin pie, and because of AP, I made a carrot cake, too.
Oh, I love carrot cake.
Yeah, I love both of them.
Yeah, well, he showed me this amazing piece. I couldn't get it out of my mind, so I decided to make one.
What's that? Okay. Why does it wait till showtime for it to start acting up? Okay.
Oh, you didn't find it? I was going to say there's a picture of all the stuff on the board. It's turkey, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, yams, mac and cheese, barbecue baked beans, corn, cranberry sauce, deviled eggs, stuffing, and then the pumpkin pie and carrot cake.
This sounds great.
You always made the Thanksgiving dinner?
No, we take turns. But I'm paying for it now. I can hardly move. But it's tasty.
Yeah. All right. Did you bring something to share, Deborah? Yes.
Nope. Hatter, I did say that I would have something by 5:30, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And that would have given me 24 minutes to write the poem. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
However, done now in 19. You ready?
Yep, I got it.
Yeah.
This is It's Not Thanksgiving Here by me. And it goes a little bit like this. There is much to be thankful for, and for many it means family is there to celebrate with Grandma Shaw as she killed a cat in thin air. She gets out the axe to be ready, and knows when she smiles as an aside. The flowerpot marks a grave, steady, and Grandpa's still missing the ride. Wayne with God and the pouring rain, and he end up still as dry as the day. While the waters did go and drain, leaving a place so could weigh. Still around me, there's just Friday, and the ringing of vodka with the bells. I really wish that I could stay, but more carrot cake it yells. End poem.
More carrot cake.
Yeah, why didn't lunch yet?
Great job.
See,
great
I
job.
Told you that carrot cake was his fault.
Oh, no, no. I will walk down to Porgy's and I will get some toasted sandwiches and then I'll have carrot cake and I'll be happy about the world. It's hard not to be. Oh, great cake. I'll have to show
you,
Adam. It's really good.
You showed that picture. I couldn't get it out of my mind, so I just started to bake one.
Yeah, there you go. See?
I think it's great.
It was like that, Hatter. I mean, yeah. You know what it's like. You know what it's like, that place. It has really good, you know.
How come I can't see that?
Because I'm about to put it up on the board. Hold on. About to put it up on the board. Bear with me. And you'll see. Oh, here it is. Here it is. I'm adding. I'm actually in discussion with the cafe owner, Hatter. Put some pictures up.
Oh.
I know. Well, I have nothing on the wall. I've got chairs hanging on the wall. It just seems to be a waste. So I'm in discussions.
So what does everybody...
Fingers crossed.
So what does everybody, on Thanksgiving, what do you look forward to the most as far as food? Is it the dessert? Is it the turkey? Is it the stuffing? What? Wayne, what do you got? What's your favorite?
I look for. I can't wait for people to get to eating, and then they go, "Man, that was great!" And that's what I look for. When people like my food, that's my number one goal in life, to make people happy when they eat my food. And I've been cooking Thanksgiving dinner for 50 years. I'm pretty good at it, but that's what I live for on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, my house where I grew up with there was five brothers, and there wasn't much left. You needed to be there, or weren't guaranteed anything. My mom started making two turkeys because everybody wanted leftovers, so the first one just sort of vanished. That was pretty cool.
This is the most Thanksgiving I've had in 20 years or so, because I've always had 15 to 20 to 30 people. Today we had like 8 or 6. I think it's got two more coming. A little turnout for this weekend, but I didn't invite anybody. I cooked and I didn't even tell anybody I was cooking. I thought we had just figured out.
Hey, cook it for yourself. I remember
I like to cook the meal, because cooking the meal is what makes me just great cooking Thanksgiving Day meal, just more fulfilling for me. That's what I live for.
Oh, the smells alone are worth it, just to get your house smelling like Thanksgiving, the holidays. AP, would you give
it? You want to do 15 to 20 items. You know, it takes a little bit of practice and planning, and to get it right, it's a pretty good job. Ain't it, Dad?
Yeah, you know, my dad's side of the family would get together on Christmas Eve every year, and it was all potluck. So I had there was 12 aunts and uncles, and not all of them showed every year, but when they did, we had quite a spread. I mean, there was all sorts of food. Deb, what do you look forward to at Thanksgiving?
Somebody else doing the dishes.
Yeah, the tradition on the holidays was the men go in and do the dishes after the meal, after Thanksgiving and Christmas. They'd go in and give the ladies the bed.
I've done this 3 times today.
Well,
yeah,
I figured they did all the cooking. They did all the cooking. You guys ready for a song? Oh, there it is. There it is. I see that.
There it is.
Had to go make one, since I couldn't just go down to the place he's eating it at and grab one. I had to make one.
There you go. When I got married, my in-laws didn't. It's like every other year they liked me or didn't like me for some reason. You know, I found out after like 15, almost 20 years that my mother-in-law made homemade noodles with a with a gravy sauce and the bits of turkey, and I loved it, and the meringue pie I always did too. So she did everything by scratch, everything. So I thought that she did these noodles, and she would cut these. She'd make the noodles. She made every noodle, you know. I love.
That's
scary. I found out she did that just for me. I didn't know that for a lot of years. Just because I said I liked it. I mean, it was really good. My mother-in-law was an excellent cook. But I didn't know.
Now, Deb, if I hang up, can you go in as host, or do I need to stay as host while you call in?
Nope, you can hang up and I can dial back. And thank you for covering for me while I eat.
No. I'm just going to go grab some lunch because I haven't had any food yet. So, the carrot cake, I'm being serious, is calling me. I'm going up to Porgy's, Adam.
Were you at the coffee shop?
Yeah, Porgy's, the coffee shop, the one you liked.
I did like that place. They knew me.
Yeah.
They knew me. I was a kid from California.
And they do coffee properly, and they do a mean carrot cake.
They were the most politest people I had run across a long time. Every one of them in there, they're just kind and
No, very very good, very very good. I agree. Yeah, very nice people.
Cool.
I am wandering up to Porgy's to have some lunch and carrot cake and
there
coffee, probably not in that order. Thank
you, AP.
Thank you, Wayne. Pleasure, Deb. Okay, all good, Hatter. Talk soon.
Okay. Yeah, Porgy's was the coffee shop that sort of hung out in. Good food, good people. Australia was a trip, man. I'm glad I made it down there. Didn't get to do a lot of things I wanted to, but that's beside the point. I made it to Australia. Met AP Taylor. Face to face, yeah. I'll tell you what, AP Taylor is exactly who he says he is, even more. So, okay.
Yeah,
okay. Are you guys ready for some Alice's Restaurant?
Yes, I am.
Are you in the studio?
Yes, I am. There are several versions of it. Live versions. But I picked the one that was a live version of him doing it in 1970. I thought it was better back in the day.
Yeah, I remember.
He's a funny man. If you get a chance to see Arlo Guffey, go see him. He's a funny guy.
This is a funny poem, I think.
He's got
me a
called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago, on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower, with her husband Ray and Fasha's a dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there, and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving. And we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before, and with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road, and off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff, and at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile was better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obi. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and just wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obi, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." After speaking to Obi for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage, and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in the red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obi could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, "Obi, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on." He said, "Shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car." And that's what we did, and sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened. Here they got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car, but when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, seeing the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in a newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire, track, footprints, dog smelling prints, and they took 27 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, the southwest corner, and that, not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obi said he was going to put us in the cell. Said, "Kid, I'm going to put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt." And I said, "Obi, I can understand you wanting my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for?" And it said, "Kid, we don't want any hanging." Said, "Obi, did you think I was going to hang myself for littering?" Obi said he was making sure, and friends, Obi was, because he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll, and have an escape. Obi was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? The song about Alice. Alice came by with a few nasty words to Obie on the side, bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, and didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obie came in with a 27 8x10, covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one. Sat down. Man came in, said, all rise. We all stood up, and Obie stood up with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures. And the judge walked in, sat down with the C&I dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obie looked at the C&I dog. Then the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the C&I dog. And then at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, because Obie came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't going to look at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against them. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft. We got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down to get my physical examination one day, and I walked in, I sat down, got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. Because I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. Man, I wanted to feel like the, I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York. And I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. And I went up there, I said, shrink, I want to kill. And I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead burnt bodies. I mean kill. And I started jumping up and down, yelling kill. And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling kill. The sergeant came over, pinned the medal on me, sent me down the hall, said, you're our boy. Didn't feel too good about it. Proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, detections, neglections, and all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things, and I just having a tough time there, and they was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they was leaving no part untouched. Proceeded through, and I went, finally came to see the very last man. I walked in, sat down after a whole big thing there, and I walked up and said, what do you want? He said, kid, we only got one question. Have you ever been arrested? I proceeded to tell him the story of Alice's restaurant, Massacree, with full orchestration and five-part harmony and stuff like that, and then all the phenomena stopped me right there and said, kid, did you ever go to court? I proceeded to tell him the story of the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one and stopped me right there and said, kid, I want you to go over and sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid! And I walked over to the bench there, and there is Group W, is where they put you. If you may not be moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime, and there was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench there. mother rapers, father stabbers, father rapers. Father rapers sitting right there on the bench next to me, and one day was mean and nasty and ugly and horrible and crime-fighting guys was sitting there on the bench. And the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest father raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he was mean and ugly and nasty and horrible and all kinds of things. And he sat down next to me and said, "Kid, what'd you get?" I said, "I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $50 and pick up the garbage." I said, "What were you arrested for, kid?" And I said, "Littering." And they all moved away from me on the bench there, the hairy eyeball, and all kinds of mean, nasty things, till I said, "And creating a nuisance." And they all came back, shook my hand, and we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping, all kinds of groovy things that we were talking about on the bench. And everything was fine, we were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of things, until the sergeant came over, had some paper in his hand, held it up, and said, "Kid, this piece of paper's got 47 words, 37 cents, it's 58 words. We want no details of the crime, time, crime, and else kind of thing. Got to say, pretend to about the crime, want no arrest, an officer's name, and else kind of thing. You got to say, and talk for 45 minutes, and nobody understood a word that he said. But we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench there. And I filled out the massacre with the four-part harmony and wrote it down there just like it was, and everything was fine, and I put down a pencil, and I turned over the piece of paper, and there on the other side, in the middle of the other side, away from everything else on the other side, in parentheses, capital letters, quotated, read the following words: "Kid, you rehabilitated yourself." I went over to the sergeant and said, "Sergeant, you've got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I'm sitting here on a bench. I mean, I'm sitting here on the Group W bench because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug." He looked at me and said, "Kid, you don't like your kind. We're going to send your fingerprints off to Washington, and friends, somewhere in Washington, enshrined in some little folder, is a study in black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason I'm singing you the song now is because you may know somebody in a similar situation. Or you may be in a similar situation, and if you're in a situation like that, there's only one thing you can do, is walk into the shrink wherever you are. Just walk in, say, 'Shrink, you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.' Walk out. You know, if one person, just one person does it, they may think he's really sick and they won't take him. And if two people do it in harmony, they think they're both faggots and they won't take either of them. And if three people do it, can you imagine three people walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out? They may think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day? I said 50 people a day walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out. And friends, they may think it's a movement. And that's what it is. The Alice's Restaurant Anti-Massacre Movement. And all you gotta do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar with feeling. So we'll wait till it comes around on the guitar here. Sing it when it does. Yeah. here it comes. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. That was horrible. One and Warren stuff, you gotta sing loud. You could put a lot. I've been singing the song now for 25 minutes. I could sing it for another 25 minutes. I'm not proud or tired. So we'll wait till it comes around again. And this time with four-part harmony in the feeling. We're just waiting for it to come around is what we're doing. All right now. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Something else. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. So walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. At Alice's restaurant.
Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant. It's a war protest against the draft. It was common to that if you got in trouble with the law, you had a choice. A year, 2 years in jail, or whatever the what you did, probably exaggerated a little bit, or joining the service.
Going to Canada.
Yeah, and it is partially true, the story. It goes... first of all, they say a lot of stations throughout the nation still play our Alice's Restaurant on Thanksgiving. It was originally released in 1967 as Alice's Restaurant Massacre. It's only nominally about either Thanksgiving. Alice warned the restaurant. It's a shaggy, rambling story song in which Guthrie spends Thanksgiving with a dinner that couldn't be beat, with Alice of the restaurant, and then as a favor tries to drive her trash to a dump, only to find out the dump is closed for Thanksgiving. He leaves the trash in a garbage pile by the side of the road and is subsequently arrested for littering, which when Guthrie comes before the draft board is a reason the military cites for choosing not to draft him. You want to know if I'm moral enough to join the Army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being the litter bug. Kid, we don't like your kind. In Guthrie's deadpan delivery, the whole story has a loopy, feverish, fever dream quality, but most of what happens in it is true. Guthrie's littering made the local paper. So he did get caught littering, dumping him some trash. That's the truth of it, that Faithful Thanksgiving in 1965 with Police Chief William O'Bonahan, the officer Obie of the song, remarking sternly that he hoped the case would serve as an example to others who are careless about disposing rubbish. They did make a movie. It is a terrible B movie, maybe a D movie, but it's got a little cult to it. It's called Alice's Restaurant, and it stars Arlo as himself. Interested? So everybody's heard that, right? Deb, you've heard that, Wayne. Did you know it was a war protest song?
I
as anybody else.
I only ever heard it when you share it, Hatter.
I've heard it ever 5 times. I love it.
Let's see. Okay, I got what's the difference things how Thanksgiving was celebrated in 1923 compared to today? Thanksgiving has changed over the past 100 years. Come on, open up. Okay. It starts with some questions, some trivia. This year, Thanksgiving is on November 23rd. What was the date in 1923? Was it November 14th? November 22nd? November 23rd? Or November 29th? Yeah, D, the fourth Thursday of November wasn't the established date for the November wasn't the established date for the federal holiday until 1941. Before that, each president chose the date and issued a Thanksgiving proclamation. President Calvin Coolidge picked the fifth Thursday in November 1923. All right, Americans will pay an average of $1.71 per pound for their Thanksgiving turkey this year. How much do they pay 100 years ago? 23 cents a pound, 45 cents a pound, 56 cents a pound, or 99 cents a pound?
23.
50 cents.
56, you say? It
yeah.
is. While 45 cents may sound cheap, turkey was far more costly a century ago. Adjusted to inflation,
yeah.
That 45 cents is equal to $8.10 today.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
By comparison, in 1923, a gallon of milk cost 35 cents. A new Chevrolet Roadster, $570. And a large four-bedroom house, $7,000.
Damn.
Okay. I know. Then, as now, sports were an important part of Thanksgiving Day festivities. What was the most popular sporting event on Thanksgiving Day in 1923? Was it hockey matches, football matches, football games, boxing matches, or bicycle races?
Boxing.
Well, think about it, Wayne. 1923.
Bicycle
it's
race.
It's got to be on radio. It's got to be radio.
It could be bicycle. It might be kind of new, so. But, you know, like the latest, they have bicycle.
It's got to be football. They listen to it on the radio. Nobody had TVs in 23. Make sense? Let's
good
see.
Question.
The answer. High school games began being played on Thanksgiving Day in the 1890s. By 1923, the NFL had a busy card on November 29th. The biggest game was the Chicago Bears 3-0 victory over the now Arizona Cardinals. The Chicago Cardinals at the time.
Wow.
All right. Thanksgiving in 2023 is considered the official start of the holiday season, with Santa Claus appearing at the end of the parades and Yuletide lights glowing that night. What was considered the optimal time for putting up Christmas decorations in 1923? Was it Thanksgiving week, Thanksgiving Day, the day after Thanksgiving, or wait until December?
The day after Thanksgiving.
Wait to December.
It is D. It was considered poor taste to hang decorations in November. In fact, the Christmas tradition that commenced that same year was held much later in the season than it is today. Coolidge flipped the switch, lighting the first national Christmas tree at 5 p.m. December 24th, 1923. It will be held November 30th this year. Okay, what time did the legendary Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade through the streets of New York City begin in 1923? Was it 10 a.m., noon, 1 o'clock, or 3 p.m.?
Well, I was going to say 9, so I'll go with 10.
It's 10 in the morning.
10? Yeah, probably because it was always really early on the West Coast. You had to get up early if you wanted to see the parade. So let's see. Answer, this is a trick question. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade didn't begin until 1924. Philadelphia's Thanksgiving Day launched in 1920 as the nation's oldest. Okay. Sorry about that. This side dish makes the occasional cameo appearance on our Thanksgiving tables today, but it was a staple of many holiday menus in 1923. Coconut, venison, oysters, or cabbage? I think I know.
Cabbage.
I think I know this.
I would guess
I it
would be cabbage.
I think it's oysters.
Ooh, I think it's cabbage. Because cabbage came good luck for New Year's or something like that.
Yeah, it probably depends where you live, huh? All right, let's see. The answer is C. Started in the 19th century, Americans were crazy for oysters, particularly around the holidays. They appear in stews, dressings, and, of course, on the half shell. Wow.
Yep.
Even in the Midwest, bowls of oysters were sent.
I love them.
Yeah. We have Tamales Bay out here that's about an hour and a half from me, and when we were cruising
come in,
the coast.
Come in. Yeah, come on in. I'm going to come and talk to you guys.
The what? I didn't hear what you said, Wayne. Hello?
Something happened to his call.
Did he say he'd be right back or something? I'm not in the studio.
He must have. But, like,
okay.
We're already over the hour, and you still have 4 more sound clips in there.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry.
That's all right. Just
I'm... Okay. Running down the hall. Here I am.
Well, I can push the button. You just need to say something about the clips or tell me which one to play.
Oh, okay. Jeff Healey. Jeff Healey, this song is a Bob Dylan song that Jeff Healey plays. It's in Well, Enjoy. It's When the Nights Come Falling.
They played this in Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
Just saying.
When the night comes falling. think I will remember that icy wind, that howling in your eyes. You will see me in your time, in the wasteland of your mind.
When the Night Comes Calling, yeah, Falling from the Sky. Great song. Bob Dylan's song, and it's about love, loss, and despair. Look out, baby, the sky has fallen in, and I know you're afraid the world feels like it's caving in. The only way you would know that if you were a Dylan fanatic and had all his albums. But Jeff Healey took that and made it into a freaking beautiful song. I love it, the guitar he plays in it. Jeff Healey went blind as a small child, ended up dying when he was 41 from the same disease. But during that time, he learned how to play the guitar. I mean, he's one that can make it cry. He plays it on his lap, and he played in Roadhouse, like Deborah said. He played behind the chicken wire in Roadhouse. I invite you to look up Jeff Healey on YouTube. Yeah, look up as my guitar gently weeps, Healy's version. It is absolutely gorgeous. What I noticed, the bass player, it's an all-Canadian band. The bass player, anytime Jeff Healey stands up out of his chair and holds his guitar to play behind his neck or whatever, the bass player gets close to him. So he'll lead him back by touching backs or elbows or whatever to lead him back to his chair if he gets too far away. It's
very cool.
Sort of cool thought. Yeah, yeah. Jeff Healey had the biggest what were the odd records size? 45 and the 33 and then the
I know, right?
Anyway, he had the biggest collection in North America. Played several instruments. Jeff Healey, great musician. We lost him several years ago. Great song. When the White Night Comes Falling. Deb, we don't have to play. If you got to get going or want to go, we could. We cut off and just have those in those other songs. We could go out with one of them.
What's the Adam Sandler thing?
It's took. You know, I didn't hear it all. It's a little PG-13 or something. There are some words in there that I noticed at the beginning. Are we a G?
Well,
are we G?
Play that and then go out with Last Kiss.
Okay. Do that.
All right, here comes Adam Sandler.
They want to hit a Thanksgiving song, huh? All right. This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey.
I love you.
Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should. Cause it's turkey to eat. So good.
That clapping's messing my head up, man. Huh? I appreciate it. But I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping. Here we go. Thanks anyway. Turkey for me. Turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey then I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite. That's right. Turkey with gravy and cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded Darryl Strawberry. Turkey for you and turkey for me. Can't believe Tyson gave that girl BD. White meat, dark meat, you just can't lose. I fell off my moped and I got a bruise. Turkey in the oven and the buns in the toaster. I'll never take down my Cheryl Peaks poster. Wrap the turkey up in aluminum foil. My brother likes to masturbate with baby oil. Turkey and sweet potato pie. Sammy Davis Jr. only had one eye. Oh, turkey for the girls and turkey for the boys. My favorite kind of pants are corduroy. Gobble, gobble, boo, and gobble, gobble, giggle. I wish turkey only cost a nickel. Oh, I love turkey on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
The Adam Sandler turkey song. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening and going to listen on demand. Wayne, thanks for calling in. AP, thank you. Deborah, it's always a pleasure spending the holidays with you.
You too, Hatter.
And I hope everything goes well. You know, did you want to hear the last kiss or when Hard Eggs or
yes.
Nichols? Hard Eggs or Nichols?
Yeah, I want to hear last kiss.
Okay. This is
look on the chat wall. I reposted the photos of all the stuff I could.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this song is Joe Bonamassa with Boogie Bowles on drums and Anton Figg on drums. I have a double drummers. It's great to watch. They're at Prince Albert Hall. Anton Figg played for Letterman, I think. He was the drummer for Letterman. And the secretizing that they did is pretty cool. So, you'll be probably ready. Oh, one more. Oof. All right. All right. One last kiss. So,
I love this song. Here we go.
Good evening, brothers!
Okay, that's not what I thought it was. So before we go now, we have to listen to what I thought we were going to listen to. Great show, Hatter. Love and respect. Group Pearl Jam, and like I said, that happens when there's so many songs with the same title. I heard Last Kiss, and I expected a version of that song to play. Guess you just never know.
Hey, Deb.
Yeah.
Deb. Happy Thanksgiving, huh?
Happy Thanksgiving, Hatter.
Okay.
Great show.
For you. See you next time.
All righty.
Bye.
Love and respect, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving. One for the road. Night all.